Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
The domestic terrorists. What sane nation lets people who say they're going to disrupt an event like this put acid into water systems, blow up buildings with fireworks? Why would you let them go there unless you're a disruptor yourself in the White House? A total fraud. Don't get me started on him. You know what that bum is doing on the way out the door, in addition to throwing stink bombs and putting bums into every position he can put his position people into? Do you know what he is doing? You know what that bum is doing in addition to trying to start a war with Russia? That bum, that low-life bum, that David Letterman, Paul McCartney, Robert De Niro, Stevie Wonder, Charles Barkley, George Clooney, Bradley Cooper, George Lucas, Meryl Streep, Samuel Jackson, Magic Johnson, Tom Hanks, Al Disgusting Sharpton, Jerry Seinfeld, Steven Spielberg, Sarah Jessica, Dirtball Parker. They were all at his last party. These are the people who've dissimulated America for the last 10 years. They've destroyed the country. They're the reason that Trump was elected. So they partied with him, turning it into a stinking frat house. And do you know what this bum is doing on the way out the door? The bum is taking Air Force One on a last free flight. The last free flight of the last day of his presidency. He's abusing a taxpayer again. The bum is flying Air Force One to Palm Springs, California, just to get one more cheap free ride out of the government. Can you believe this man? Maxine Waters calls for Trump's impeachment. They should impeach Obama after he leaves office for what he's done to this country. But that's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. They finally released a list of the lowlifes at the going away party for the bum. Celebs bid farewell at White House party. And look at that list. There's David Letterman trying to compete with Santa Claus. What does he think he is with the hipster beard? What is that stupid, ugly beard about, David? What do you think? It makes you cool? You walk down the street, you look like an old bum. You look like you're drooling on yourself. Look at the rest of them. Robert De Niro, another fraud. Another fake tough guy. I'll punch him in the nose. I'll knock him out. The minute he became president, he's licking his boots. I'll knock him out. I'll punch him in the nose. These are the people who exposed themselves during the election. Do I have to say Meryl Streep? Do I have to say Samuel Jackson, who exposed himself, in my opinion, as a diehard stone racist? You forget what these people said? And you morons go to their movies. You idiots go to their events. You idiots pay to see them on television. You represent 51% of America. You could turn them off. You could end their careers, but you won't do it because you don't put your money where your mouth is. You let guys like me suffer for 22 years at the hands of people like this who control the media, who control the advertising business, who have boycotted this show for 20 years, costing me a fortune, and I do it anyway, because I believe in what I do. And believe me, I've only gotten started. You know, this thing against Trump, Maxine Waters, what a jackass she's always been. You just say Maxine Waters, it's a laugh line. Maxine Waters, where else in America could a woman of this low intelligence be a congresswoman for this length of time, other than from Compton, California? Where else could this woman have risen to such a high position, other than in the United States of America? So she says if Russia helped Trump, he should be impeached. You got to believe that. Well, I'm not going to play it now. The sickness, the mental illness of liberalism has never been on display to such an extent that it is right now, as Trump enters the door and as the bum goes out the door. I'm surprised he's not going to steal the silverware. I don't know what he's going to take. He's taking Air Force One for a last free ride? That doesn't turn your stomach? That doesn't tell you everything you need to know about him? Flying bum one on a last junket? Squeezing the last ounce of a freebie out of the people? It doesn't get you sick? And now they're blaming Trump for everything. Everything Trump did. Everything he's responsible for. Maxine Waters wants to impeach him. Listen to how far out she goes at a limb. In a description in clip one, this lunatic, this idiot, listen to this one.
If we discover that Donald Trump or his advocates played a role in helping to devise strategy, if they're the ones who came up with crooked Hillary, if they're the ones who came up with she's ill, something's wrong with her energy, and the way that he basically, you know, described her in the campaign,
I think
that is something that would put the question squarely on the table whether or not he should be impeached.
Right on. All power to the people. Bring it all down, man. So they're blaming Trump for everything now, and I wonder how far back they'll go once he's president. Perhaps they'll say that Trump is responsible for the space shuttle Columbia blowing up. It happened a long time ago, but obviously Trump is such a wicked man, and God saw that the deplorables would elect him one day, and that they would punish him and us by destroying the space shuttle 25 years ago, because God saw this coming. Or I would think that Maxine Waters might blame Donald Trump for 9/11. You see, the airline hijackers, the good Muslims, were not aiming for the World Trade Center. They were actually trying to hit Trump Tower. And they did that because Trump secretly told the Muslim hijackers that he needed the insurance money from the destruction of his property. I mean, that could come up, let's say, the first day. Or perhaps we'll hear from Chris Matthews that Michael Jackson died from taking too many illicit drugs because he knew one day the white racist Donald Trump would become president, and Michael Jackson couldn't live a day longer knowing that, so he spiked himself to death. He might tell us that O.J. Simpson actually was set up and wrongly persecuted for killing his ex-wife and Ron Goldman. Everybody knows it was Donald Trump who did it. Trump also drove the white Bronco. He was just dressed in camouflage. He's that racist. We're also going to hear probably that George W. Bush became president because of Donald Trump, because Trump was in charge of the recount in Florida behind the scenes. After all, think about it. Trace it back. Doesn't Trump have a country club in Florida named Mar-a-Lago? Isn't it a prominent club? Aren't there a lot of white Republicans in it? There you go. So they were in charge of the recount. That's how Bush became president. Now, we know that everybody blamed Bush for Hurricane Katrina because he was a white president, and it hit New Orleans, which has a large African-American population. But I wouldn't be surprised if Samuel Jackson and Meryl Streep and Al Sharpton and Steven Spielberg and all the rest of them who attended the last event don't hold a press conference and say that it was Donald Trump who had the money and the resources to steer that hurricane with a special trick machine towards New Orleans, especially towards African-American neighborhoods. And that Donald Trump actually and his sons and his daughters actually put the charges in that blew up the levees to cause the flooding in the poor black areas of New Orleans because they're such racist people. But if that's not enough for you, there are other things that they're probably going to blame Trump for. That would be Samuel Spielberg, Meryl Johnson, Tom Sharpton. I'm mixing the names up so they can't sue me. My guess is that one day we'll wake up and see ABC News reporting that the genocide in Rwanda happened because everybody knows Donald Trump hates black people, and that's how he turned them against each other. Even though he wasn't president then, they had a sixth sense that one day this white Nazi would become president, and so they went on a rampage against each other with machetes cutting each other's arms off. I would say that one day we'll hear that Donald Trump hates the environment so much, he has such a visceral hatred for it, that he took his $1 billion submersible vehicle, drove it to the Deepwater Horizon drilling platform, and set charges so it would blow up and leak oil all over the Gulf of Mexico. That's right, the Trumps did it. I would also suspect that within a week or two, we'll hear that Donald Trump is responsible for the stop-and-frisk tactic that was being used in New York City. He didn't have safety in mind. He just wanted to rob black people and brown people of any money in their pockets. He's that racist. Or, wait a minute, if that's not enough to you, I will hear that he went to the grocery store to buy Russian dressing for a recipe. And the fact of the matter is, if we find out that Donald Trump actually prefers Russian dressing on his salads at Mar-a-Lago, that is proof positive for Maxine Waters that there is collusion between Russia, Putin, and him, and he should be impeached along with the salad dressing. My friend, I would suspect that soon we're going to see that Donald Trump will be responsible for Playboy magazine no longer publishing nude women. You see, he kept showing up during photo shoots and grabbing the women, ruining the shoots. And if that's not enough, we're liable to hear in a few weeks when they run out of other ideas that Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds both died because of how much Donald Trump hates women. When they heard he was elected, they had heart attacks. Their hearts just gave out because they just couldn't live in a world with a man who hates women so much. That, my friends, is the opening to the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-47282. You want to have some fun? What else do you think they'll blame Donald Trump for? What else can they possibly lay at him? But wait a minute, if that's not enough for you, there's more. Loretta Lynch, who is the most incompetent, biased, bigoted attorney general that ever could have been imagined. She's far worse than Eric Holder. Far worse. She was handpicked by none other than the lowlife Al Sharpton, who lobbied for her appointment. She had no qualifications whatever other than spewing racism and hatred in New York City. Listen to what she said yesterday at a speech in clip number 5. This is, wait, your attorney general. Listen to this sickness.
I know that while our accomplishments should make us proud, they must not make us complacent. We cannot stop. We have to work.
Right.
We have to work. And I know that in our pursuit of a brighter future, we still face headwinds. We still face oppositions.
Yeah.
We see it.
Here we go.
We see
it,
the waves of hatred,
waves of intolerance
and injustice
that
are still blowing in this country, and they seem to grow stronger the more that we achieve.
Oh, who's we? What do you mean we? Who's we? Who's she talking to? What do you mean we? What, does she have a divided America in mind? Duh. Yeah, she lives in a divided America. I don't. I unite America. I'm Michael Savage. The greatest uniter in American history. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. All right, I'm back. Now listen, let's talk about blood flow for a second. We all know that healthy circulation is critical, especially as you get older. You know that. There's a natural way to support healthy blood flow, and that's by getting enough dietary nitrates into your body to convert into nitric oxide. Now, Super Beets is the easiest way to get these natural dietary nitrates. You just throw a scoop in water or a smoothie and you're all set. This is the secret to helping support healthy circulation, healthy blood pressure levels. You see, Super Beets works 3 times faster to give you results you can feel, and it tastes great, by the way. It's all about blood flow, blood flow, blood flow. I must tell you, you should take Super Beets every day. You'll feel the energy and stamina it gives you within 20 minutes, and I want you to feel it immediately. Call this number right now, 800-481-0504, 800-481-0504, or go to SavageLovesBeets.com. That's SavageLovesBeets.com. You're going to get a 30-day supply absolutely free with your first order, backed by a money-back guarantee. Wait, you're also going to get a free book, Beat the Odds, and free shipping on your entire order. You're going to love the results you feel with your first free canister, guaranteed to get your money back. So call 800-481-0504. Let's go to a caller, Jerry, line 2 on GDJ, up there in Albany, New York, I assume. Correct, Jerry?
Oh, thank you, Michael. I mean, I know you don't like praises and all that kind of stuff, but, I mean, today it's got to be an exception, man, because that was just, like, that was, like, the best thing I ever heard in my life. And your opening monologue was just...
What do you mean, blaming Trump for all these things? They're going to blame him for things that happened 20 years ago?
I do YouTube videos, and I've been listening to you since October 2015, and I sample a little bit of your stuff. I mean, you're just amazing. My Uncle Jerry told me to listen to you, and you're just, like, unbelievable, man.
Well, they will blame the genocide in Rwanda on him.
No, I mean...
Even though it happened 30 years ago, it's because the Tutus and the Hutsis... It wasn't each other that they were hating. They were so filled with rage that in 30 years, a white racist would become president in America. They intuitively knew it through some kind of voodoo. They had some secret trick by throwing feathers on the ground. And they knew Trump would be president, so they went berserk. You can't blame them for cutting each other's arms off. They'll blame Trump for the massacre.
Your show, like I know what you're watching, everything, and you see the CNN and MSNBC, you see what they're doing at night. I mean, how the hell does any American...
After what went on with this election, after the exposure of Wolf Sicko Blitzer drinking wine when Hillary was running, celebrating her victory in some debate that he gave a question, it's beyond belief that they have the nerve to get up in the morning without committing Harry Caray. How do they face themselves? How does Shepard Smith have the nerve to put a tie and suit on, a tie and a shirt and a suit, and go to work every day? How does he not have shame? How do they have no shame?
You are, I mean, please.
I don't know. What's the difference? Why genuflect over this? That's all. Hey, I had a good night. I'm a complaining. The other night I had a nightmare. You don't want to know from it. I had a nightmare on Monday, on Sunday night, Monday morning. It was not a doozy. I can't even read it to you. It was so bad. I woke up with a heart like a pounding. I said, this has got to stop. Last night, though, I slept peacefully. It must have been that I didn't eat sushi. I don't eat sushi anymore. You eat sushi now? You can eat that garbage? You think sushi is so cool. You go to like a Japanese, you see all of these white people eating this garbage food. It's fundamentally peasant food from Japan, from people who couldn't afford a whole piece of fish. So they gave them scraps rolled up in leftover rice in a ball. Now they call it sushi. What's sushi? It's garbage food. It's peasant food. It's bad enough that the hippies and their children are, you see the boys, 12, 13 years old, just when they need big slabs of meat. Big slabs of meat, large portions of protein. And what's the mother feeding him? Some anemic piece of garbage, vegetarian, vegan sushi. No wonder the boy is having a nervous breakdown with a mother like that. It's shocking that you can't see this. Most of you can't see it. All you see is a mother feeding a boy sushi. Or a girl, even. Let's say boy or girl, doesn't matter. She also is demanding protein at a growth spurt. But the children grew up deficient in diet. Because they were vegans, vegetarian, starving for a piece of protein. As a result, the liberal children didn't develop, their brains did not develop on time. You think I'm joking with you? No. Ask a physiologist if a developing fetus and then a developing infant needs protein. Oh, they need protein and large amounts of it. And so the mother, first of all, she's a vegan, that's number one. She's emaciated and falling apart and starving to death while she's pregnant. Then she gives birth to a baby and she denies him cow's milk. Then she denies him chicken or fish or meat or cheese or dairy or gluten. There's no food. The children in America are starving to death. And then you send them into the government school and they fill them with lies about how great Obama is and a wonderful saviorism of humanity. And they believe it. Do you understand why we won the election? I do.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The song wasn't that great, it's just that I was 11, so everything looked good. Pimples. You didn't know the world was going to be like this when you're young. You look ahead. If you knew, let me ask you something, anyone over 60, be honest with me. Don't call because I know you won't. But I want you to ask yourself this question. Let's say you're 60 or above. If you knew that your life would end up the way you are today, would you have not thrown yourself in front of a train like an IRT when you were 20 on the way to a rotten job somewhere? I mean, would you have gone on with your life? Is that a cynical thing to say? You know, there's a thing about power of positive thinking. It never worked for me. This whole thing about the power of positive thinking, how to win friends and influence people, that is such garbage. I hate that stuff. For some people, life just sucks, man. It's awful from day to night. It's just horrible. Well, on January 20th, 2017, at 10 a.m., tens of millions of Americans from coast to coast are going to set off fireworks and celebrate when the thing leaves the White House, takes the last free flight the night before, I think. Is it the night before he's flying to Palm Springs to suck one more trip out? Oh, that night. That night, he takes one more flight. He milks the taxpayer for yet one more flight. What a low-life bum he is. Oh, there's so many things I wish I could say, but it's a radio show. It's not you sitting in my living room. It's as close as you're going to get to what's really going on in my heart. This man, let's look forward, okay? Okay, let's talk about Trump's inauguration. Rah, rah, sis, boom, bah, great, 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 wonderful. Rah, rah, sis, boom, bah. The world's going to change for the better. Yeah, okay, let's hope so. The only thing I'm looking forward to is the smackdown by the bikers, the wall of meat. The one thing I am looking forward to at the inauguration is to see the bikers beating the pulp out of the paid protesters. Oh, would that be nice? Tens of thousands of protesters planned during Trump's inauguration. Really? Can you tell me why the FBI and DHS doesn't arrest these people from Berkeley, California, and elsewhere? They have names. They're boasting what they're going to do. Ads in two dozen cities offer protesters up to $2,500 to agitate a Trump inaugural. It's from a group called Demand Protest, a San Francisco company. There's a person who runs it. They have names. If you lived in the same country, they'd be arrested because they're domestic terrorists. It's that simple. You know, there's a big difference between offensive speech and disruptive speech. Offensive speech and speech that tells people to kill. You cannot yell fire in a crowded theater. We all know that. But you also cannot say you're going to disrupt an inauguration. You're going to spray things on people's dresses at the Trump parties. Unless you have a president who is so evil that he doesn't unleash the power of the federal government on them, you see? So it's not that liberalism is a mental disorder. Liberalism is far more sinister than that. Yes, there's a degree of mental illness in liberalism. But there's a far deeper psychosis beneath the veneer of it that you have to understand. And that is that although communism has been tried many times in the world and failed everywhere it's been tried, the most recent example is 90 miles from Miami in Cuba. The Cuban people live under the thumb of one mad dictator. The other one dropped dead, didn't he, a few weeks ago? The other evil one died. There's only one brother left. One miserable Hitler is left in Cuba. A dictator, a mafioso, treats the Cuban people worse than you treat rats in a sugarcane field. And, of course, Obama reached out to him. He's kind of guy. Can you imagine if Obama could have had Cuba for a country instead of America? He'd be president for the next 70 years. Think of the abuse he could get away with, him and the kids and the wife flying around in Air Force One for nothing. Does that offend you? I hope it does. I hope it gets right under your skin. I hope it really gets under your skin. I hope you get sick and have to reach for a Prozac. Well, anyway, that's what I think. So, what should I tell you about now? Savage Solutions? What are the solutions? There's a lot of solutions. I actually do solutions. In Trump's War, every chapter begins with solutions. I'm going to give you an example. I don't want to read from Trump's War because it's too soon. It's 2 months before publication. But many of you have already gone to Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com and bought it. Okay. There's a chapter in there in an area I know a little bit about called Trump's War to Restore Real Science. I'm not going to read it to you. Don't worry. Don't reach for the button. Don't reach for the button right away. I'm going to show you. Every chapter begins with a box on top with solutions. So when I say Trump's War to Restore Real Science, the solutions include, one, fund research by global warming skeptics. Makes sense, doesn't it? They've been excluded by Obama. Promote conservative conservationism over progressive environmentalism. Wow, that's one you haven't heard from yet, from all of the wonderful conservatives in the media. You mean there's a difference between conservative conservationism and progressive environmentalism? Duh, yes, there sure is. Restore real science at the NIH, CDC, and FDA. Exercise caution and care in repealing environmental regulations. See, that's where I differ from everyone else who call themselves conservatives. Most of them do not understand that without environmental regulations, we'd be drinking polluted water, far more polluted than it is. Without environmental regulations, we'd be breathing toxic air and eating poisoned food. And so there's a real need for some environmental regulations, just as there was a need for food and the Pure Food and Drug Act that was passed in 1904 or 1908. Because if you saw what was going on in slaughterhouses then, and how adulterated the food was then, you'll understand why it was passed. Well, it's no different today. Human nature is such that people will cheat other people if they're not controlled. You go back to Roman times. They also had people whose job was to do weights and measures. Did you know that? What do you think, ancient Rome, they were nice to each other? Some old Italian, they was trying to rob someone from a piece of prosciutto then. He said, yeah, and he put his thumb on the scale. So even the Romans had someone going around to catch the crook, trying to weight the scale, you know, for the extra weight for the prosciutto. And they would fine them or arrest them, depending on how bad they were. If they were really bad, they would invite them into the government. If they was clever enough to do it on 1,000 scales at once, they would assign him to the Senate, the Roman Senate. See, that's how you gauge somebody in America. If they're smart enough as a lawyer that they can rob everybody and get away with it and not go to jail, they become a congresswoman. If they can rob 10,000 people, then they're elected, someone selects them to be a U.S. senator. If they can get away with bamboozling millions of people and rob them of their fair income, they elect them to the presidency or the vice presidency. That's how it works. All right, let's take a call. John on WDRC Line 5. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, sir. Pleasure to speak with you. I read a couple of your books, but in reverse order. And I'm halfway through Liberalism as a Mental Disorder. And everything that you've said in that book has come true to this day. You just mentioned the lawyers, the kitty and the fish. I mean, who knew Charlie Turner wasn't real, right?
Yeah, no, I saw that in 06 when I wrote that, which is over 10 years ago now. I saw what liberalism was, and now it's popular. Every day you're bashing liberals. That's old already, though. Isn't it old to just bash liberals? Isn't it boring when you hear it?
But they still don't get it because they're being made by the thousands.
Oh, you mean the kids are being, like, hatched into little liberals. That's what you're saying.
And not only that, you just...
And you know, that ties in with what I said, is that they have nutritionally deficient diets. See, their brains are not working at full capacity. And so the children are too stupid and too slow to even understand they're being brainwashed. They have no sense of judgment.
None whatsoever. I mean, I
John, where do you live? What city are you in?
He doesn't like that. It's because he never tried...
John, what city are you in? John, hello, Michael Savage to you. What city are you in?
I am in Watertown, Connecticut.
All right. In Watertown, are there any sushi restaurants or coffee houses?
Yes, they're all up and down Main Street.
All right, fine. So when you walk through town like an outsider looking in, do you see what I'm talking about? Do you see the hippie mothers and fathers feeding their children these deficient diets of sushi, for example?
Absolutely, sir.
Okay, and you see the emaciated white boy sitting there eating a piece of vegan sushi. The boy doesn't have the strength to lift up his own hands, let alone to play a game. Or to study. The brains don't work with that kind of diet. But what do you expect from a mother who was raised on that kind of food?
Just going to start from the top down.
How about the coffee shops? You ever stand behind a hippie at one of the hippies in Watertown at a coffee shop and listen what they go through? They don't go in and say, just give me a coffee. Do you ever hear what they go through? I want a double, triple reduced espresso from beans raised to 4,700-foot altitude in Ethiopia in an extensive way, making certain that the whales and the newts didn't get damaged by it, and the people of Ethiopia were given fair and fair trade value for picking the coffee beans, and I want a double soy minus espresso squirt added to it, but the water shouldn't be too hot, and I'll take that over here while I'm waiting. You ever hear them order a coffee?
Absolutely, like going to a pharmacy, getting a prescription. It's sickening.
you topped me on that one. That was fast. It is. A pharmacist in the old days would compound a prescription with mixing things and grinding in a mortar and pestle faster than they can make a coffee today in Watertown, Massachusetts, when you're behind a liberal trying to get a coffee. You can pull your hair out. You can't just say, give me a coffee and get out of there. Everything is special. Everything is a trick special order. It's frightening. Just give me a coffee. You don't even want to talk to them. You just go in sometimes. You just want a coffee. You can't even say, give me a coffee. Then they ask you 3 questions. It's like 20 questions. You want a tall? You want a small? You want a this? You want a that? You want room for milk? You want no milk? You want soy milk? You want hot water? You want cold water? There's no... Okay, whatever. Thanks for calling. All right. I'm not... What's in the news? I got the stories. I'm not in the mood. I'm just not in the mood to read stories today. They're boring. We know what's coming. Obama's first stop after leaving office, Palm Springs, California, still flying on Air Force One. Are you listening to this? Hollywood celebrity gossip website TMZ says that immediately after Donald Trump's inauguration, Barack the deadbeat Obama will fly to Palm Springs, California, to get one last flight on Air Force One at the cost of the American people. The website claims that upon the completion of Trump's oath of office ceremony, the plane designated as Air Force One will wing its way westward with the Obama couple aboard. Can you believe this? Are you listening to this? Are you listening to a bum like this who has no sense of dignity whatsoever? This is unbelievable. Now, not all modern presidents flew home after leaving the White House. For his last trip, as thousands gathered to wish him a safe trip, Harry S. Truman boarded a train at Union Station and rode the rails back to his home in Independence, Missouri. Well, I'm not suggesting Obama should ride the rails. No, I didn't say that. Obama rushes to fill dozens of federal jobs before leaving office. You hear what this bum is doing? He's appointing 100 federal government agencies, new appointees, during a last-minute frenzy to fill the government with deadbeat liberal psychos who can't be fired. Since the new year, Obama has named 72 people to federal job openings, and nominated another 17 for positions requiring Senate confirmation, according to CBS reporter Mark Knoller. Last night, Obama announced appointments for 27 officials to government positions and named two to jobs requiring Senate confirmation. I can read you the names. Now, the interesting thing is, why would he name two people to jobs requiring Senate confirmation? Only one reason. Because he knows that the people are not going to be confirmed and that they're probably going to be called racist, the government, for not appointing. You get it? In other words, he dredged up the worst he could possibly find left on his list and threw them into the government jobs. How is this country going to be governed with these bums on the left disrupting everything before they leave? There's only one answer for this, and that is it's starting on Inauguration Day when the bikers for Trump say that they're going to create a wall of meat against the protesters. I think that it's going to come down to what the left wants, and it's going to have to happen. And I can't even finish the paragraph. But I think what they really want is what they're really going to get from the bikers, the wall of meat. And when that wall of meat meets the nose of the protesters, I think we may be on to some healing. Have a nice break. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Leave Jerry Brown with the techno pirates and the illegal alien bums and the green gangsters. That's all be left here. A few Italians who run restaurants that I know. I see that bidding starts at $40,000 for Christopher Reeve's Superman costume. Now, who would want that? What putz in his right mind would want to buy Christopher Reeve's Superman costume? What are you going to do with it? Some moron is going to put it on in his basement? I don't understand what people bid stuff for dead people. I told you I knew a guy, an art dealer in London many years ago. God rest his soul, a great man, wonderful man. He bid $5,000 or $10,000 for Marilyn Monroe's brassiere. Years after she was dead. I was shocked. I didn't say anything because at the time I didn't know people bought these things. It makes me think. I mean, I'm a minor celebrity. I realize I'm not Christopher Reeves, but I am a certain celebrity. I'm a minor celebrity. So you think ahead. I have my archives, my artifacts. I'm thinking, what would you bid on? Let's say years from now when I'm dead and the family holds an auction somewhere at Christie's and like three people show up. Three deplorable people show up, like ripped clothing, drooling on themselves. What is it of mine? How much would you pay for my microphone? What would you pay for, in your mind, to have my my wine glass, my favorite wine glass, or my favorite beer mug? God, how disgusting. Yes, indeedy, that's Michael Savage's beer mug. I just imagine drinking with him as I pour my butt into this mug, and I drink it. I'm in solidarity with the man I loved so much. What would you bid on? Like socks? They actually bid on everything. They sell everything. Shoes, socks, underwear. It's disgusting. There's no privacy in the world. I'm asking you, seriously. I actually think it'd be a more interesting show topic than Trump. I don't want to hear the word Trump again. I'm sick of it. Leave me alone already with Trump. I'm tired of it already before he's inaugurated. Please, I wish him the best. I don't want to hear him. I don't want to hear Kellyanne Conway's name one more time. I wish he changed somebody already. I'm saturated with it. Leave me alone. Just manage the country. Clean it up. Fire the government workers. Build a wall. Lower taxes. Kill the Islamists. And leave me alone. I don't want to hear any more about it. So I'd rather just do radio today. So I say bidding starts at $40,000 for Christopher Reeve's Superman costume. What would you pay for Michael Savage's microphone? Let's say years from now. Let's say, God willing, it happens to you. Would you buy it? What of mine would you want? Like an undershirt? It would have to be, like, laundered first before I put it up. I'm not going to, like... See, old undershirts, even if they're clean, they look worn out. Maybe there's a more of a... Okay, wait. Michael Savage's old Jaguar. That would be something. The XK150 he never drove. It spent more time in the shop than it did in his garage. Every time he started, it caught fire.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
If
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
I don't know a sane person on the planet. In fact, the people who think that they're the most sane are usually the craziest. Welcome to our number whatever of The Savage Nation, whatever. I'm not talking politics. I am bored. I can't take it. I can't wait for the inauguration to be over already, for the bikers to beat up the bums who are being paid to protest, who are going to spray women's dresses with stuff. I just want it over with already. I want the country governed. I want 20% of the government workers fired. I want the illegal aliens in prison thrown out of the country. I want Muslims banned from entering the country. I want a wall built. I want my taxes lowered by 50%. I want tariffs put on Chinese goods. And then leave me alone already. Let me go on with my life. So I was reading, for example, that Superman's costume, the one that Christopher Reeves wore, is going to be auctioned off, and bidding starts at $40,000 for Christopher Reeves' Superman costume. Then I realized, you know, I told you I knew a friend who bought Marilyn Monroe's brassiere. He's long dead, but he bought it 10 years ago for $10,000. I don't understand that. He wasn't like a cross-dresser, don't get me wrong. He didn't like secretly go in the bathroom while his wife was out of town and put on Marilyn Monroe's brassiere, so far as I know. But he bought it. I mean, people collect anything today. So it leads me to believe I'm an inveterate collector of my own things. I don't let anything go that's of any value. I have all of my original manuscripts. I have my early poetry, my early plays, some typescript, some handwritten. I have hundreds of pages of handwritten manuscript. And frankly, I grew up where my penmanship was beautiful. It's like artwork. It flows in beautiful ink. It's like looking at calligraphy, all of my writing. Okay, so I have journals. Then I have other stuff. I mean, I'm not auctioning right now. But I started to think. I'm a minor celebrity. I admit I'm not as famous as Christopher Reeves or as important as Rosie O'Donnell. I'm certainly not as brilliant as Robert De Niro in many ways. I mean, he has advanced degrees in virtually any field you would ask him about. I don't have any knowledge of biology sufficient to hold a conversation with Leon DiCaprio. I'm sure he has PhDs in every aspect of climate science. But I do the best I can. And so I have a rather limited following of, I don't know, a couple of million people on radio, a couple hundred thousand people buy my books. So there's a market, in other words, for my stuff. Now, I'm not ready. I don't have a foot in the grave. There's, so far as I know, although I've been obsessing on death since I'm 5 years old. Do kids do that today? They probably put them on drugs. If you have a kid and say, "Mommy, I'm afraid I'm going to die," and that's like that's all he thinks about, what happens? You take him to a doctor. They put him on drugs. Then the kid gets sicker from the drugs than he was before. He's probably a philosopher or some kind of priest or rabbi. You don't even know it. You should put him in like theological school. But no, they put him on drugs, and the kid becomes totally crazy. Then he becomes a total drug addict by the time he hits middle school. From illicit drugs, to keep up with what the legal drugs did to him. But I've always been obsessed with the clock. As I said, here's another example of something. Wait, I can auction this off. God, I wish I had a camera right here. I have an hourglass in this studio. I'm in another studio now, the third studio this week. All last week I was in another studio that I hadn't been in for years. All right, it went well. Cost me a fortune to rebuild it. Then I got tired of it. It brought back too many memories. That's what's coming up now. So I went back to a studio I'd done for 15 years, and it's where the children grew up in that house. There's pictures everywhere. Oh, my God. There I am at my 40th birthday, the 50th birthday. There's mother. There's father. There I am at my bar mitzvah with uncles are dead. They're full of life, the rose of life on their faces. Why, there's Uncle M. Look at him dancing. There's Uncle S. Yeah, well, where is he now? Pushing Daisy somewhere. If they haven't cremated him, I don't know where they are. They're dead, so it means, okay, next step. So now you go into like, okay, birthday's coming up, how much more? Okay, so one day, you figure, and what are you going to leave? Well, I've always figured I'd leave my work behind me, my books. That's about all I can do. Of course, my children, but they're not mine. I don't own them. I read Cahil Gibran. I don't own my children. I had something to do with making them, but ultimately, we don't own our children. Don't ever think you own your children, because that's the biggest mistake you can make. My parents didn't own me. They created me. And they shaped me in many ways and rebelled against some of their creation. But nevertheless, we don't own our children. What do we actually own? What is ours? Well, we own physical possessions. So, given that we live in such a society, things will be auctioned off, like my microphone. Would you want my, what would you buy for? What would you actually bid on after? Because I'm very serious right now. I'm so not interested in Trump or the protesters or Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton or the my head's spinning. It's boring. It's boring. I have to tell you, I've never been so bored in my whole life talking about this stuff. It's starting to like reach a saturation point. I feel like I'm going to have a massive cerebral hemorrhage from it. Must we talk about Trump day every day to be loyal to Trump? Must we sit here and like worship Donald Trump in order to support Donald Trump? Is that what's going on? Well, I'm reaching now a point of counter worship. I can't take it anymore. So I'm doing this now. What would you bid on? A couple of these callers are fantastic. So let's begin on the East Coast, as I usually do. No, let's begin on the West Coast. Will on KSFO Line 2. What would you bid on after I'm dead?
Mike, I'd love to have one of your bicycles that you ride through the city on, or anything from that November 2000 performance up in...
Right.
So anything like that.
But what would you do with the bicycle?
I'd probably ride it around, maybe... recreate some of your journeys, and then I'd probably put it up on a rack in my family room. Just
that's pretty great.
Hang a hat on
it. I only use one. Well, I use two kind of bikes, but one brand I like. I have a Bianchi bicycle, green, light green. Have you ever seen it?
No, I haven't.
My favorite bikes, I fell in love with them 10 years ago, was a Bianchi. I don't even think they make this model anymore. It's called the Cafe Commuter. It's like made for roads with a little wider tire than a skinny tire. And that's it. It's green. It's a light green. It's a very classy bicycle. I have like one in each house around the places. What would you pay for a bicycle like that if I own, like it was mine today?
Well, if I was just at your house buying it, I'd probably offer you $500-$600 for it, but in an auction.
Yeah, but you could buy a new one for that. So it's got to be more than that. I mean, if you want a collectible, right?
Well, that's what I'm.
You could buy Christopher Reeve's costume. Probably you could have one made for yourself, probably for $300. Yet the bid started $40,000. So there's an additional value because it was my bike. You'd have to pay more than that. I'm just trying to feel it out, see if it's worth it. My family doesn't need the money. All the money's going to go to some charity anyway. But it's like an interesting thing. I probably won't auction anything off. I may burn it all. That way there's no ego at all. Just take all the manuscripts, all the photographs, all of the audio tapes. Imagine all my audio tapes going back to 1994. You know, I was obsessed with myself. Oh, you're shocked to hear that, I know. You're shocked to hear that there was a degree of self-absorption. I know that. When I began in radio in 94, I knew that I would make waves. I knew that I would be the greatest in radio in a long time. I knew that. I knew I was a one of a kind. I just knew it. It's that simple. And don't tell me that others don't think the same thing, but I knew it from the beginning. So I did something no one else in radio history had ever done so far as I know. I had almost every early show on KSFO recorded on audio cassettes, and labeled them after every show, wrapped in paper with notes. Would you believe it? I happen to have those somewhere. They have value. I know that. You know what we ought to do for fun is I had some of them transferred to CD. We ought to play some of my first shows from the early years of KSFO in the next few weeks on this radio show so you could hear that I haven't changed my politics and my voice hasn't changed in over 20 years. Imagine one day you wake up and you're old and sick. That's horrible. It hasn't happened. I've been very lucky so far when you think about it. You know, when you think about that, you know, it's a gift. It's a gift to be able to do this every day. Unto itself, that's a blessing. We take all of this for granted. Get up, a guy runs, he does this, he can do everything. Now, one day you can't. But you don't realize when you have it that you could lose it. And you don't really realize that every breath is a gift. But you know, that's too preachy, I get it. None of us wants to live that. We all want to feel we're immortal. Is this too maudlin for you, this show? Am I going down the wrong, like a rat hole of depression? Do I need medication because I'm thinking about it? I don't think so. I've been this way since I'm 5. It's worked for me for quite a while. Kind of this like dark view of the world that I have is something I've lived with. It is me. How do you define yourself? Wasn't it Pascal who said, I think, therefore I am? Well, I speak, therefore I am. And I write, therefore I am. Right? This is what I do, is I speak and I write. That's how I define myself. How else do you define yourself? That's another question. That's a bigger philosophical question. How do you define yourself? if you're a creative person, you define yourself by your creativity, right? What you create. But you can't really judge yourself, they say. Others have to judge you. I don't believe that. That's garbage. The day you start believing someone else should judge you is, you know, you're not a good creator. Don't tell me Picasso thought nothing of his work and that he needed an art dealer to tell him what his work was worth. No, I think he knew he was great from the beginning. So my audio tapes have value, microphone has value, bike has value. What else? What would you bid on? KLIF, Roger, line 9. What would you bid on if it was like the time to do it?
Well, Doc, I want your off-breed, one of the breeds from Teddy. I've got 225 acres of land, and I want him to run free on that land. And every time I see him and I feed him good beef every day, I'd be thinking about you.
Oh, that's a beautiful idea. I'd like to be. Maybe you could adopt me. I'd like to run free on your ranch.
Yep.
Maybe you could feed me beef every day and I'll run around on the ranch. No. You know, it's an interesting question. I have not bred Teddy. He's 12 years old. He's too old, I think, for it already. This guy is spunky, though. He still jumps as high as my chest like a lynx. He leaps. He can leap. I don't know where he gets the springs in his body from. But I never bred him, you know? It's sad that his genes are going to disappear. What a remarkable creature he is. Roger, did you ever read Teddy and Me? Did you ever get a copy?
Yes, I did. And the thing is, he grew up in a city. I'd like to have one of his offsprings to grow up and be open with me.
I trust you intuitively. I know you're a good guy. But I'd be afraid to do it, because what if you're a guy who's going to put him into, like, a pit bull cage?
Oh, no.
No, there are people who would take my dog, an offspring of Teddy, and use him as a pit bull, like bait. So I can't do it, Roger, unfortunately. Did you say you have a copy of Teddy and Me?
No, I have two Rotties that would be his big brother.
No, do you have a copy of my book, Teddy and Me?
Yes, I do.
Oh, because I'm going to send you another one anyway, all right? This is good. I like this. This is nice. I'm having so much fun right now. You can't believe it. You know why? Because I haven't said the word, the T word, in 9 minutes. I'm going to see if I can get through another segment without saying the word T or O for another whole segment. Maybe we could do something else in radio. Is that possible? That we don't say Trump or Obama for one full segment to talk radio? Is that possible? Maybe we could not say Constitution, Obama, Trump, Ronald Reagan, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. Maybe for 1 minute I can do that. Is that possible to talk about something else in the world other than that? Because that's what I'm going to do.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Well, I stumbled into this topic, and it's so good not to say the word inauguration. I can't do it. You know, I think emotionally we're all inside younger than we are, let's say, chronologically. So I think, sometimes I say, if I were 12 years old listening to radio, which is about the average mental level of the person listening, emotionally, I didn't care about the inauguration. I went about my business. Who cared about what politicians did? I never gave a damn. How does this become my whole life? So I'm talking about something else, which is, auctioning off. Cliff, KLIF, Dallas, Carl, what would you buy?
Yeah, you've got me thinking here, just imagining how incredible it would be if I owned your microphone. The first half of my life, I was a broadcast engineer in radio down here, and I love radio, and I still do, although I haven't been in it in a while. And
Well, okay, I'm broadcasting right now on a RE20. Let's see, yep. Here it is. I'm looking at, this is the old RE20 up at this house.
It's a good mic.
It's a good mic. It's a real workhorse. This is like the A10 of microphones. You can't kill these things. You can drop them and they still function.
Yeah, having a microphone that you used would be just incredible.
I have an RE20 here, a gray one, old model. The RE27 is a little more accurate, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with the different versions of it, but I know...
How much would you pay today for my microphone, my RE20?
Oh, maybe $2,000.
Yeah, but how much is a new one, like out of a box?
Actually, I don't know. I've never purchased one.
All right, well, I'm not giving it away. I want to talk to an auctioneer now. This is amazing. We have an auctioneer, Robin, from B.O.B. in Jacksonville. Go ahead, please. Make your point, if you don't mind.
Let me just say up front, I think one of those awesome hats that you wear would have great iconic value. You know, I have quite an extensive prop collection, and you know, if you were to sign one of your hats, Mike, and I were to, you know, have somebody take a picture of you while you're signing it to verify it's authentic, your signature, I bet I could put that in one of those acrylic cases, throw that sucker on eBay, and make some serious jack off of a Michael Savage.
Oh, but I want to know how much, though. I'm trying to gauge what the value of these things are. What would a hat be worth? In a case, how much would it be worth?
Your hat in a case, how much it would be worth, you asked?
Yeah.
I would, you're pretty popular, Mike, and, you know, I'm not wishing anything bad on you, but if you were to kick the bucket, it would really go up in value. But I would say right now.
I'm not planning on that, but let's say you did. Okay, and I'm dead. How much would it be worth 3 years after I'm dead?
I think at least $500, and I think it would be
Wow, just the hat cost more without the case. Thank you for the. I'm getting the real winners today. This is like a joke show now. Oh, Mike, a thing like that, that's worth at least $50. The hat costs more than $500 without a case. I'm not really getting the winners now. I'm not even getting, like, joke calls. Okay, let's go to the next one. Matthew, KLIF, Dallas, Line 8. Go ahead. What would you bid on?
Savage, this is not a joke. I want your guns.
Oh. I have a fine collection of antique flintlocks that I happened to bought them at an auction 15 years ago. I know what they were worth then. Some of them are pepper boxes. They're in perfect shape. Then I have modern, you know, useful weapons. But they're all in different locations in hidden safes and locked up. So they can't be stolen. But the thing is, they would have value, I'm sure of it. Would they be worth more as a single collection or as individual items?
The great thing is, the older we get, the more they stay the same.
All right, well, the gun collection is certainly valuable. I have other things. The manuscripts mean more to me than anything, by the way. My handwritten manuscripts, but no one wants that today. Don't even know what it means, handwritten. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I'm no longer at the dance in the seventh grade with a beating heart. It's over. I'm a cynic. I don't believe in that anymore. Rain and snow is forecast. Winter storm Corey to bring an ice storm to the northwest. More feet of Sierra. It's that global warming stuff. Look at that. It's going to snow up in Glacier Park. Well, it is named Glacier Park. Don't tell it to Al Gore. It was named Glacier Park before he was even conceived by his father, the coal magnate. Yeah, freezing rain, ice storm, winter storm, blah, 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 another winter storm. The Schmendricks come out to the West Coast from Cleveland. They move out here, and they're shocked when there's a bad day. Oh, I'm in San Francisco. Why is it not sunny? Because you're not in Mexico, that's why. This, boys and girls, is known as a Mediterranean climate on the West Coast. In California, we call it a Mediterranean climate. And if you look at history books, you will see that there is an indigenous palm tree that grew from San Diego along the coast right up into Vancouver. That's right, a native palm tree. Long before global warming was created by the shysters in San Francisco's inner Richmond district, there was a palm tree, an indigenous palm tree, beautiful tree. I think it's called Washingtonia filifera, if I remember correctly. Yeah, my botanical Latin came back to me when I needed it. Washingtonia filifera, gorgeous palm. It was indigenous along the coast, all the way up the coast, like the redwood trees. Tells you something about ancient days over here and the kind of weather it was. So when more storms, I got to change cars again. Keep changing cars for the weather. I go from like the old 4x4 in 2006 Black Rover for the puddles and the this and the that. And I switch over to the newer British car that works. I never drive the Jaguars, never. Whoa, don't get me started. I got the most beautiful XKE. I don't drive it. I got a gorgeous XK150, a black one. It looks like a showroom condition. Let's see. This is not a joke. I spent a fortune because I turned the headlights on in the garage and it caught fire. I swear to God, not making this one up. Everything you ever heard about Lucas wiring is true. But the car had been restored before I bought it. It ran okay. I did had a lot of work done to it. Gorgeous. Not a ripple in the sheet metal. Like you saw it on a car show at night, you say, wow, that car's perfect. These cars are made to sit in an art gallery and never be driven. That's what they're made for. They were never any good from the day they were built. So anyway, to make a long story short, I took it for a little ride about a month ago, this Jaguar. And I drove well, and for some, it was like late in the day. And thank God I didn't need the headlights. I pull in the garage, and just by weirdness, I turned the headlights on to test them. Smoke came out of the dashboard. All the wiring caught fire. That was a month in the shop. Just to get the instruments rebuilt, they don't even make them. Wait a minute, it gets better yet. It comes back with the rebuilt instruments. And this is not a joke. I have the car for like a week. I didn't drive it. I don't have the time. I went to take it for a ride like a week ago. I back it out in the driveway. The brake pedal goes to the floor. I call a mechanic. I said, how could that be? He said, well, I drove the car back to your, flatbed to his shop. He was going to put in like a new master cylinder. I get a call today. It turns out that the pipe or whatever going into the master was corrupt. It was like a repro part, and the rubber melted in the car. Blah, blah, blah. So now he has to keep it another week. It's not his fault. These are relics. I've always liked them because when I was young, I thought it was classy to drive a sports car. I don't like sports car. They're boring. I mean, who drives them? An older man in a sports car is like a giveaway for a loser. You see a guy with white hair in a sports car, red sports car, you know he's got problems below the navel. That's all I can tell you. You know there's an issue down there. What guy drives around in a sports car at any age above a certain age? It's for kids. But I didn't buy it to drive around in. I mean, I love the beauty of the car, how it looks and this and that. I like the sound. But I don't really want that car anymore. So I'll auction it off right now for $1,200. I'm joking. Do you know, it's worth a fortune. I know what I paid for it. I'm not going to tell you. I bought it in L.A. 2 years ago. It's worth double what I paid for it, maybe. Big deal. But when I had one when I was a kid, because I was poor, and I thought, a Jaguar would make me like British nobility. You know, kids don't know anything. They're all like fooled by everything. They don't know what they're doing. So I remember I got so fed up with that car. It was a maroon XK150 drophead coupe. Gorgeous car. It locked up on me in New York. I remember I took it to Manhattan to a friend's house. We were at a party all night. I came out in the morning. I couldn't get it out of first gear. It locked into first gear. That was to start with. So we had to push it in this. I don't know what happened. I got so fed up, I drove it over the Queensboro Bridge to some shyster. I don't think he's still there on Queens Boulevard. I said, how much you'll give me for the car? I took what he gave me, $850 for the car, to get rid of it. Would you believe it? Well, now, so I bought one a couple of years ago. Paid a fortune for it. But they're going through the roof, those cars. Awful. Worst car ever made in history. How could Lucas Engineering make things that are so bad that they catch fire? WABC John, line 2. What would you bid on after I'm gone from this world, which will be a long time from now? What of my objects would you want?
Hi, Michael. I would bid on one of your paintings.
Okay, I want to ask you something. They happen to be pretty good. Where did you see them? Did you see any of them?
I think I saw one in Teddy and Me, but I'm not...
Right. There are two paintings of mine in Teddy and Me. One is a portrait of Teddy, which is, of course, interesting unto itself. The other is a self-portrait of me, which is not bad. That's an example of some of the art I have done. I do watercolors when I'm in the mood, which is not often. And I have maybe a total of 50 of them total, no more than that. And all they are is, like, I would say 8x12, maybe 8x10 in a typical pad. Some of them are pretty good. And I got to tell you, John, I won't say who because then it's like a giveaway, but some people think that they're pretty remarkable. Let's put it to you that way. And, I think my paintings would have inherent value. I've thought of having an art show. In fact, right now I'm thinking of doing an art show in a gallery, but then I got to get involved in, like, with liberals and galleries in San Francisco and bad wine and cheese. I don't want to do it. So I'm not going to do it. See, this is my problem, is I imagine I'm going to do things and don't do it. This is all I want to do, is radio and books, and maybe doing a painting every once in a while. Yeah, those paintings are good, John. One day I'm going to exhibit them. Oh, this is very funny. Okay, WABC Dane, another literate man. What would you bid on, Dane?
I'd like to see your thoughts before you put them on paper and publish them. Your note cards or things that you may have scrapped. Almost like a musician, his lost recordings.
Well, here's the thing is, I have many journals that are handwritten. Those are my thoughts. Then I have manuscripts, some of which have been published, some haven't been published, and then I have scraps of paper with notes on them. But you're talking about the scraps?
Yes, the scraps, the original thoughts before they were edited.
I understand. Well, most of those original thoughts are actually in the writings themselves. I generally go from writing to longhand. I did a story the other day. You got to listen to this. I was going to read it on the air, and then I realized I couldn't for two reasons. One, because it's so dark and so horrible that people would get scared to see what I live with. They would say, he can't be thinking these things. Nobody could live with that kind of thought process. That's number one, but I do. And number two, then you'd rip the idea. Someone would rip the idea off. It would be like a TV show tomorrow because all the hungry people in the business. I can't give away an original thought. It's so good. It could be the basis of an entire, like, novel. And I haven't done a Jack Hatfield commercial novel in a while. I'd say the closest you're going to come to some of my original writings you could find on, right now, I mean, you have, what do you call that? I don't even remember. On Amazon, they have, like, a thing. I have two of my stories up there. What do they call that? Come on. Kindle. I have two Kindle books that are up right now on Kindle. One is The Survivor, which is an incomplete novel I wrote in the 1980s about a coming nuclear war and how a family escapes and tries to get to the South Seas in a sailboat. It's actually pretty good. It's a modern updated version of Swiss Family Robinson. Okay, that's good. Then there was the other one, Banned in Britain, which is more commercial, but has everything about that whole thing about me being barred from entering Britain by the evil Labour Party and how they bought hook, line, and sinker that I'm an all-around evil guy. Now, that's a great book. That's also on Kindle right now. I think I'm going to go into a sidetrack on that because I meant to talk about it at some point. At some point, I am going to put a petition up on my website and on my Facebook. I'm going to try and get as many hundreds of thousands of signatures as I can. It's going to be simple. It's going to be to Donald Trump to get Michael Savage's name off the Banned in Britain list. And if I could get 300,000-400,000 people to sign that petition for Donald Trump to intervene with May, Theresa May, to get my name off the list, and he doesn't do it, well, you'll make your own conclusion at that point. But the thing is I'm going to present it to Donald Trump. Not personally, but I'm going to present it to Donald Trump publicly on this show and on Facebook and on other media outlets. Michael Savage is going to appeal directly to Donald Trump to have Theresa May remove my name from that dastardly list, a list I never belonged on. It's a blacklist created by the evil left saying things about me that were never true to begin with. And I do not want to be on that list. Because I do want to visit Britain again. There are things I want to do there. I don't want to go into what. I just like to visit Britain maybe one more time. But I can't. I am not allowed to enter Britain because of a smear campaign conducted by the very same people that the British people voted against, by the way. When you think about the public opinion that voted for Brexit, these are the people who would support me right now. So I've never made it a campaign now since 2009, but I'm going to present it to Donald Trump because the world has changed. The whole world has changed, and it's time for me to present it to Trump. I'm waiting for after the inauguration, somewhere between after the inauguration and the publication of my book, Trump's War, which comes out March 14th, somewhere in that space, I'm going to come on this radio show. I am going to ask you to sign a petition that will be presented to Donald Trump to take Savage's name off the Banned in Britain list. It's real simple. He could do it with one phone call. He could do it over one cup of tea. He could do it with one email with Theresa May. Let's see what happens at that point. I have no way to gauge whether they'll even be interested in doing it or not. But fact of the matter is, I'm going to ask you to help me by signing that, okay? Winter Storm Corey takes aim at the West Coast. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Breaking news, Obama has commuted the sentence of Chelsea Manning, and I'm going to tell you more about it in a minute, but this is probably more important to you if you're looking for a job and you want a great career. Learn to dress for the job you want, not the job you have. It's been said that some clothing makes the man. And so whether you're dressing for work or dressing to go out, people happen to notice what you're wearing from top to bottom. And that's why I wear and recommend Charles Tirrett. We all love quality clothes, but until now, your options were brutal. It was either high-quality, ridiculously overpriced shirts, or affordable, out-of-date shirts that wrinkled the minute you put them on, right? CT shirts are the best shirts in my closet. They are British style, using the softest fabrics. They're the most exquisitely crafted, crease-free shirts I've ever worn. Tie or no tie, tucked or untucked, you'll get compliments in a CT shirt. How? Here's the deal that I got for you on my show. One CT shirt normally costs $100, but right now you'll get three shirts for just $99. That's 60% off. And CT shirts come with free delivery and a six-month quality guarantee and free returns. You can't beat it. $99, three amazing high-quality CT shirts. But you have to hurry. You go to ctshirts.com/savage. Only one way to get them, ctshirts.com/savage. That's ctshirts.com/savage. Women, listen to me. Buy them for your husband. Guys don't know how to dress. It's that simple. ctshirts.com/savage. So, yeah. Yep. Barry O commuted the sentence of Chelsea Manning. Now, what did Chelsea Manning do before he did a sex change operation on himself? He was convicted of stealing and disseminating 750,000 pages of documents and videos to WikiLeaks. He was an all-around rat. Now, think about this carefully. He stole and disseminated 750,000 pages of documents and videos to WikiLeaks, and Obama commutes a sentence, right? And yet the same Obama in the Democrat Party accuses Trump of colluding with Russia, claiming that Russia leaked Hillary's emails or the Democrat National Committee's emails. Can't Obama just pardon Trump for that act? Wait a minute, while he's at it, can't Obama be benevolent and pardon Putin for having done the same thing? I'm just thinking out loud. Since he's into commutation right now, he ought to be into permutation and combination. Just think it out loud. Yeah, Chelsea Manning's sentence commuted. Now, who is Chelsea Manning? An all-around rat, a no-goodnik. This is a very big story, because Chelsea Manning, who's now some girl or something, what did he actually do? He leaked it in order to harm the U.S. military. He was an Army intelligence analyst. He leaked it in 2010. And he leaked it to harm our military and diplomatic services. He disrupted the administration. He made WikiLeaks famous. And yet Obama just commuted his sentence. We hear that poor Ms. Manning, now it's a Ms. Manning, twice tried to commit suicide last year as a result of her uncertain future as a transgender woman incarcerated at the male military prison. Get me a violin so I can play Hearts and Flowers or some other heartbreaking song. Yeah, right, that's why she... The reason she tried to commit suicide is because she's an all-around rat and no good nick, in my opinion. Well, anyway, Ms. Manning will be freed on May 17th, and I'm sure she'll have a big career on MSNBC as a commentator, or perhaps even on Fox News next to John McCain's daughter. The commutation also relieved the Department of Defense of the difficult responsibility of her incarceration as she pushes for treatment for her gender dysphoria, including sex reassignment surgery that the military has no experience providing. Well, that's important. Oh, yeah, the military should really bone up on that, not on killing ISIS members who want to blow you up. No, they should spend all their time thinking about gender dysphoria. That's the job of a military under Obama. All right, that's that. Who else did he release? Someone else, some other bum. That's all. All right. So he released documents that damaged our national security. In my opinion, he should have been executed. At the time, he was known as Bradley Manning. When he deployed with her unit to Iraq in 2009. There, he worked as a low-level intelligence rat, helping a unit assess insurgent activity in the area it was patrolling. And as a result, he had access to a classified computer network. And so the rat Manning copied hundreds of thousands of military incident logs from Afghanistan and Iraq and leaked it to the press to damage the military's action against the ISIS vermin. And that's what Obama chose for commutation today. Tells you all you need to know.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
I'm live, I'm here, I'm now, I'm everywhere. It's The Savage Nation. Okay, so he commuted the sentence of Chelsea Manning, who should have been executed. No question, he was an evildoer of the worst kind. He did it to harm the military, and he did grave harm to our efforts against ISIS. And yet, of course, that's the kind of guy that Obama can relate to, so he commuted his sentence today. Great. And I'm sure that he is now a she, will go on to a job at MSNBC, because that's the perfect location for Chelsea Manning. After all, she's a star, a movie star. I'm sure there'll be a movie offer. Spielberg is probably dying to direct it, and Robert De Niro could play the part, perhaps. The music could be composed by some of the other sterling individuals who were at Obama's going away party we talked about in hour one. And Maxine Waters can probably give him a presidential medal of something or other. They can make one up for pushing the narrative that by releasing information that damaged the military and the diplomatic corps, he did something good for America. After all, that's what leftist slime do. But I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk instead about something else, which I touched on in the last hour. I think it's an interesting topic. Because I saw that Superman's costume is being auctioned off, the Christopher Reeves one, at the opening bids, $40,000. So I figured, look, let's face it, I have a minor celebrity status. I admittedly, there is a following, and things that I've done have value. So I said, what would you buy? What would you bid on? So people said they'd bid for, let's say, someone said the microphone. Another guy said he would bid on, I'm talking years from now or whatever, not now. Another guy said he'd bid on one of the Teddy's offspring. I said, well, he doesn't have any. And he put him on his ranch and feed him beef. That sounded nice. I told him he should adopt me and feed me beef and let me run around free on the ranch. I like to be like a free-range talk show host for about a week. That might be fun. But that's not going to happen. So I'm asking you, strangely enough, what would you bid on? And I got some interesting calls. WFTL, Ron, line four. What of all my items would you find most interesting?
I think that the Bible that you refer to all the time, I'd love to have that. If you could part with it, and hopefully you don't get buried with it like they do.
Interesting. What, do people get buried with Bibles?
Father, when he passed away, God bless him, was he was a Mason, and they buried him with his Mason's apron and the Mason Bible.
How old was your father when he passed away?
He was very young. He was only 55.
Oh, like my father, 58.
Right, and let me tell you, there's a parallel because, and you may have even been a student of my father, because he taught in Queens at PS 172, which is right near Jamaica High School.
No, I didn't. I moved to Queens from the Bronx. I went to a public school before that in the Bronx. No, what did your father teach? Like regular public school?
General science, junior high science.
Oh, in those days, I would say an elementary school science teacher knows more about science than Obama does today.
Well, here's the thing. He was a graduate of NYU.
See?
At that time, he was famous at NYU because he was the lead cheerleader. At that time, they had men.
Let's not go there. I'm not interested in family dysphoria. I'm sorry to hear that.
Right. And then
he was like a male cheerleader, but he was a male. He was not like I'm not being disrespectful. He was actually a male cheerleader, not a cross-dressing cheerleader, right?
That's right. And then he graduated. He had a biology and chemistry, and he got a job working on the Manhattan Project. He was in
as a height. The guy was that smart.
He was. It was. Yeah. He was. He went to Florida, Pahokee, Florida, I think.
Wow, what a great guy.
Give him a phony title.
All right, but we're getting sidetracked. I don't know. I would auction off the Bible with all of the post-its in it. That's an interesting thought. I'm just, like, collecting ideas right now. FNR in Virginia. Susan, what of my objects would you bid on when the time comes? What would be of interest to you?
Savage.
Go ahead, Susan. Please talk.
Yes, yes. I would love to have your plant collection.
Now, that's interesting. You're the only one who knows that I have 7 famous plant collections in museums around the world. They're known as herbariums. I have one collection about 30 feet from me right here in this studio in a herbarium case of all the plants I collected in the South Seas over a long period of time. And each plant is pressed, as you know, and it has a newspaper from the era, 68, 69, 70. and it has my notes on a card of where I collected and what it was known to cure. It's a pretty valuable collection, Susan.
I would think I would love it. And you know why, Dr. Savage? Because I've spoken with you before, and I said you always take us on a journey. Every day it's a different journey.
What journey am I taking you on today? What journey have I taken you on today?
Well, today it was like your journey of the things that you have done with your possessions and what they...
Is it boring? Is it too self-absorbed? Would you rather hear me say Trump for 2 or 3 hours or Founding Fathers for 2.5 hours?
No, I like it better than you talking about Trump and Obama and all that. We need something refreshing here.
How much can you listen to this about the inauguration? I'm burned out on it already. Are you? Are you burned out on the inauguration already?
I'm done already because, you know what, I can't wait for Friday to get here because I'm sick and tired of it. I talk.
Thank you. Thank you already. The top hat, the speech, the balls and the parties. Can it be over with already on Saturday and the marches, the women and all of the cranks? All the cranks will be there in Washington with all their grievances. I can't wait till it's over already.
Yeah.
And then Trump will go in and clean house. All I'm looking forward to at the inauguration is the spoiled brats are being paid by very mysterious forces to riot in the streets, to come up against the wall of meat of the bikers for Trump. I just can't wait to see them meet the fists of the Trump bikers. That's all I want to see.
I would love to see it.
Oh, I can't wait to see that. That I would buy, an iconic photograph of that one. Fist meets face. But, you see, they want that to happen. That's the problem. KLIF, Corrine, what would you bid on of my personal objects?
It's an honor, Dr. Savage. We would like to get your martini glass, $500.
Would you drink out of my martini glass? Is that what you would do?
You bet we would. My husband and I would share it. Our martinis were our go-to drink. We'd turn you on every day throughout this damn election. And you were...
I don't drink them anymore. For a long while, I was shaking the ice, pouring the vodka, squeezing a lime in it. I'd shake it till my hand froze from the ice in the aluminum shaker. And then I'd pour it into the martini glass, but it's so strong, it's not good for my brain.
I know, it's not good for our brains either, but it helped us through this election, I'll tell you.
No, well, of course, people do need something, and alcohol's been used for a millennia for a good reason. It's what built the West. The West was built on alcohol, not on marijuana. The more marijuana that spreads through the West, the more we will start to look like South America and Africa, and before it was even industrialized. People will revert to being morons, unable to do anything, walking around in a stupor, you know, like weaving tapestry. That's about all they're capable of, is smearing paint on a wall and weaving tapestry. Like wearing feathers and going, like, making grunting sounds. Think about what would have happened to Beethoven if he had smoked pot as a child. No, while you're thinking about it, think of all the great art and all the great music. Think if it could have been created if there had been marijuana introduced into the brains of those children. Use your brains. That's all. And look at this. This is a great caller. Malcolm on KSMO Line 3. What would you bid on, Malcolm?
I would definitely bid on Teddy's collar.
Now, wait a minute. Hold it. This worries me a little bit. I don't know you. When I hear someone wants to bid on my dog's collar, only because my mind is suspicious, you're not going to use it in some BDSM thing, are you, with, like, some homunculus from Russia, are you?
No, not at all. That's where your heart is, Michael. You love your dog, and whenever you see him, he makes you happy, and he gives you the strength to keep fighting. And I look at that thing, and I would think...
Well, thank God you're a straight guy. I don't know. You don't know who's going to bid.
Right.
The guy wanted an offspring of my dog. I was ready to throw him into, like, a pit bull cage.
No. With that thing...
No, that's very sweet, man. Okay, Malcolm, I'll tell you what. I'm going to send you a copy of my book, Teddy and Me, because you're a nice guy. Imagine that sad a dog's collar after they die. I don't even know where my other dog's collars are. Actually, I know where the ashes are of Snowy. I did many shows with Snowy at my side, my border collie. No one ever talks about her. They forgot her already. Gone and forgotten. She was a great dog, like a mini Lassie. I could still see her jumping over fences when the kids were young. Gone, like a distant memory. Now it's like a little box of ashes and her collar is in there. I did. I found it the other day. That's one of the reasons I went back to the house. I told you about the kids grew up and I did the show all of last week. Did I sound maudlin in there? I heard it sounded good, but I'm like, I was surrounded by ghosts, like ashes of my last dog, like collars, pictures. There I am waving it for, hey, how you doing? Then 10 years later, the next party's still looking great. 10 years later, the next party's still looking great. I mean, then you realize, okay, well, there's all the dead uncles, all the dead aunts in another archive. Yeah, here comes another birthday. I get in these moods every time a birthday comes up. I shouldn't celebrate my birthday. I think I'm going to cancel my party. I was going to have a huge party for my next birthday. I think I'm going to cancel it. I think at a certain point you shouldn't have a birthday party. You know who I really liked how he celebrated his birthday? He wore black. And he celebrated his birthday by wearing black. It was the poet A.E. Housman. And they asked him, why did you wear black every time your birthday came around? He said, it was a cursed day that I was born. Now, there was a man after my own thinking. That I like is that dark sense of, not of humor, of tragedy, which is what life is. Life is tragic. Do you think life is tragic? No one's allowed to say. See, in America, if you even go in that area, they think you're sick. If I say life is fundamentally tragic, you're immediately accused of mental illness and not being a Republican. You're not like a loyal conservative if you dare say that. You have to like be love life every minute. You have to believe life is perfect and everything's great. Everything's blessed and, you know, thank you, God, for giving me every breath. Okay, I get it. But it isn't that way for most people. Most people are miserable every second in their life. They schlep through every second is horrible. 1 minute is worse than the minute before it. They don't know what to do. It's like a ticking clock over their head. They feel like the sword of Damocles swinging back and forth every second, swinging the sands of time. It's like a gigantic mad painting in their head. But you don't know that. Most of us are like living like we go to the gym, eat health foods, healthy, happy, live forever. You don't live forever. But you know, running is very good for you until your joints give out. Everyone I knew who ran had like surgical replacement of joints by the age of 45 to 50. Lucky for me, I was a wimp when I was younger. No, most people who are athletic fall apart at 50, 55. Hips, knees go, shoulders go from golf, necks go out. Looked like Lourdes Cathedral. All of the guys who were jocks when I were in high school, they looked like the Walking Dead. Lucky for me, I was like a mental, I was into like books, reading, thinking, worrying. Not one joint is gone yet. None. They all work. Everything is perfect. The plumbing is perfect. The joints work. So, you know, there's a lot to be said for being a wimp. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It is. Yeah, okay. See, commuted Chelsea Manning, the traitor who should have been executed for what he did. Period. Wife present when Florida gunman bought ammo. Now, they leave out Muslim, they leave out Islam, they leave out the fact that they killed gays. Now it's like on Fox, the club attacker's wife. Anything to do can skate around Muslim and Islam, okay? Could face life in prison on new charges. This I love. Josh Earnest reflects on time as White House press secretary. That was Obama's liar. That was his paid liar. It was his Lenny Riefenstahl. Josh Earnest. I thought it was Ernst. Wasn't it Ernst? Now it's Ernest? Josh is the least earnest of all of the press liars I've ever seen. He should be tried for war crimes for what he let Obama get away with. Reflects on his time as White House press secretary? Wow. Okay, what else is in the news? Garth fesses up to why he won't sing for Trump. Who's Garth? Oh, Garth Brooks? Why do you still buy his records? What does he think he is? He's going to spit on his own audience? Why don't you go sing for a Robert De Niro somewhere in a nightclub in the West Village? What is this? Garth Brooks turning down the opportunity to sing at his inauguration? What kind of garbage is this? What's he trying to double talk him now, pray for him and his family? I love when they say, whenever you hear someone say, I've been blessed or pray for him, you know that they're con men. It's like Tammy, you know, whatever. Who was that one, that Tammy with the guy caught in the car with the hookers? I don't remember those preachers. The one who cried with the tears and got leukemia. I don't remember that one. But Garth Brooks, who's he kidding? He turned down Trump's inauguration gig and now he's trying to cover it up by saying he's praying for Trump? Yeah, right. Yeah, it's a scheduling conflict. Oh, right, sure. I wonder what PR agent he got to do that one. He was approached by billionaire Steve Wynn about the inauguration gig. And Brooks decided to leave it up to karma. Yeah, right, karma. He was afraid of alienating who? The Hollywood vermin? Alienating them for a movie they weren't going to do about him anyway? Okay. Okay. I haven't said Hillary Clinton yet today. That's a plus. 855-407-2282 is the phone number. KSFO, Michael, line 3, what would you bid on?
Hey, Michael, I want your original demo tape that you sent to the unknown station when you were an unknown baby talk show host.
You know, I have a recording of it, but I don't know if I have the original audio cassette of those tapes. My assistant's here. Ryan, if you ever find those, let me know. We'll auction them off. You know, the tape that I did make. That's how I got into radio. You know that, Michael.
Yeah.
I made 215 copies, rather, or 225 copies of a demo tape and sent it to 225 radio stations. And I believe 4 or 5 came back saying, "You're pretty good, kid. Give us a call." One of them was KGO at the time, and the other one was a station in Boston, incidentally. I wasn't going to move to Boston. I think it was RKO, if I'm not mistaken. And the rest is history. I took a job as an overnight host, and then they gave me a job, an offer I couldn't refuse, which was a full-time show here. All right, well, we'll think about that one and put that up on the list. KFAY, Arkansas. KFAY, Arkansas. Caden, line 4. What would be your liking? What would you like to buy?
I would buy all of your books that you've ever written or ever thought to read.
All of the books I've read? You mean my books I've read?
Written.
Like, what do you mean written? You could buy copies of them right now.
Yeah, but like the books that you've, books that you've written but never got published.
Oh, you mean books that are not published?
Yeah.
Oh, all the manuscripts, those are very valuable. I was going to talk about a few of them today, but it's not the right timing because Trump's War is coming out, and I'd rather defer to that book. But I have several unpublished manuscripts. I may unleash one between now and then that's ready to go on the Amazon thing. I always forget. I'm blocking again, Robert. What's it called? Where they can go buy Survivor right now if they want. Kindle. Amazon Kindle. If you go to Kindle right now, you could buy my previously unpublished novel from 1982 called Survivor. It's there. People, I'm at 800,000 people. That's all aboard. I'm not looking to make money. It's an interesting book. I'll be back. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
They're blaming Trump for everything now, and I wonder how far back they'll go once he's president. Perhaps they'll say that Trump is responsible for the space shuttle Columbia blowing up. It happened a long time ago, but obviously Trump is such a wicked man, and God saw that the deplorables would elect him one day, and that they would punish him and us by destroying the space shuttle 25 years ago, because God saw this coming. Or I would think that Maxine Waters might blame Donald Trump for 9/11. You see, the airline hijackers, the good Muslims, were not aiming for the World Trade Center. They were actually trying to hit Trump Tower. And they did that because Trump secretly told the Muslim hijackers that he needed the insurance money from the destruction of his property. I mean, that could come up, let's say, the first day. Or perhaps we'll hear from Chris Matthews that Michael Jackson died from taking too many illicit drugs because he knew one day the white racist Donald Trump would become president, and Michael Jackson couldn't live a day longer knowing that, so he spiked himself to death. He might tell us that O.J. Simpson actually was set up and wrongly persecuted for killing his ex-wife and Ron Goldman. Everybody knows it was Donald Trump who did it. Trump also drove the white Bronco. He was just dressed in camouflage. He's that racist. We're also going to hear probably that George W. Bush became president because of Donald Trump, because Trump was in charge of the recount in Florida behind the scenes. After all, think about it. Trace it back. Doesn't Trump have a country club in Florida named Mar-a-Lago? Isn't it a prominent club? Aren't there a lot of white Republicans in it? There you go. So they were in charge of the recount. That's how Bush became president. Now, we know that everybody blamed Bush for Hurricane Katrina because he was a white president, and it hit New Orleans, which has a large African-American population. But I wouldn't be surprised if Samuel Jackson and Meryl Streep and Al Sharpton and Steven Spielberg and all the rest of them who attended the last event don't hold a press conference and say that it was Donald Trump who had the money and the resources to steer that hurricane with a special trick machine towards New Orleans, especially towards African-American neighborhoods. And that Donald Trump actually and his sons and his daughters actually put the charges in that blew up the levees to cause the flooding in the poor black areas of New Orleans because they're such racist people. But if that's not enough for you, there are other things that they're probably going to blame Trump for. That would be Samuel Spielberg, Meryl Johnson, Tom Sharpton. I'm mixing the names up so they can't sue me. My guess is that one day we'll wake up and see ABC News reporting that the genocide in Rwanda happened because everybody knows Donald Trump hates black people. And that's how he turned them against each other. Even though he wasn't president then, they had a sixth sense that one day this white Nazi would become president. And so they went on a rampage against each other with machetes cutting each other's arms off. I would say that one day we'll hear that Donald Trump hates the environment so much, he has such a visceral hatred for it, that he took his billion-dollar submersible vehicle, drove it to the Deepwater Horizon drilling platform, and set charges so it would blow up and leak oil all over the Gulf of Mexico. That's right, the Trumps did it. I would also suspect that within a week or two we'll hear that Donald Trump is responsible for the stop-and-frisk tactic that was being used in New York City. He didn't have safety in mind. He just wanted to rob black people and brown people of any money in their pockets. He's that racist. Or, wait a minute, if that's not enough to you, I will hear that he went to the grocery store to buy Russian dressing for a recipe. And the fact of the matter is, if we find out that Donald Trump actually prefers Russian dressing on his salads at Mar-a-Lago, that is proof positive for Maxine Waters that there is collusion between Russia, Putin, and him, and he should be impeached along with the salad dressing. My friend, I would suspect that soon we're going to see that Donald Trump will be responsible for Playboy magazine no longer publishing nude women. You see, he kept showing up during photo shoots and grabbing the women, ruining the shoots. And if that's not enough, we're liable to hear in a few weeks when they run out of other ideas that Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds both died because of how much Donald Trump hates women. When they heard he was elected, they had heart attacks. Their hearts just gave out because they just couldn't live in a world with a man who hates women so much. That, my friends, is the opening to the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-47-282. You want to have some fun? What else do you think they'll blame Donald Trump for? What else can they possibly lay at him? Well, anyway, that's what I think. So, what should I tell you about now? Savage solutions? What are the solutions? There's a lot of solutions. I actually do solutions. In Trump's War, every chapter begins with solutions. I'm going to give you an example. I don't want to read from Trump's War because it's too soon. It's 2 months before publication. But many of you have already gone to Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com and bought it. Okay. There's a chapter in there in an area I know a little bit about called Trump's War to Restore Real Science. I'm not going to read it to you. Don't worry. Don't reach for the button. Don't reach for the button right away. I'm going to show you. Every chapter begins with a box on top with solutions. So when I say Trump's war to restore real science, the solutions include, one, fund research by global warming skeptics. Makes sense, doesn't it? They've been excluded by Obama. Promote conservative conservationism over progressive environmentalism. Wow, that's one you haven't heard from yet, from all of the wonderful conservatives in the media. You mean there's a difference between conservative conservationism and progressive environmentalism? Duh, yes, there sure is. Restore real science at the NIH, CDC, and FDA. Exercise caution and care in repealing environmental regulations. See, that's where I differ from everyone else who call themselves conservatives. Most of them do not understand that without environmental regulations, we'd be drinking polluted water, far more polluted than it is. Without environmental regulations, we'd be breathing toxic air and eating poisoned food. And so there's a real need for some environmental regulations, just as there was a need for food and the Pure Food and Drug Act that was passed in 1904 or 1908. Because if you saw what was going on in slaughterhouses then and how adulterated the food was then, you'll understand why it was passed. Well, it's no different today. Human nature is such that people will cheat other people if they're not controlled. You go back to Roman times. They also had people whose job was to do weights and measures. Did you know that? What do you think, ancient Rome, they were nice to each other? Some old Italian, they were trying to rob someone from a piece of prosciutto then. He said, yeah, and he put his thumb on the scale. So even the Romans had someone going around to catch the crook, trying to weight the scale, you know, for the extra weight for the prosciutto. And they would fine them or arrest them, depending on how bad they were. If they were really bad, they would invite them into the government. If they was clever enough to do it on a thousand scales at once, they would assign him to the Senate, the Roman Senate. See, that's how you gauge somebody in America. If they're smart enough as a lawyer that they can rob everybody and get away with it and not go to jail, they become a congresswoman. If they can rob 10,000 people, then they're elected, someone selects them to be a U.S. senator. If they get away with bamboozling millions of people and rob them of their fair income, they elect them to the presidency or the vice presidency. That's how it works. You know, you talk about comeuppance. This is a story you're not going to believe. Not welcome. Members at D.C. Country Club take swing at Obama over Israel's stance. Members at an exclusive Washington area country club don't like Obama's stance on Israel, and they don't want him joining the Woodmont Country Club in Rockville, Maryland. Now, it's predominantly wealthy Jewish club members. They don't like what he's done to Israel. They don't like him criticizing Israeli settlements in East Jerusalem and the West Bank. They don't like attacking Israel. They don't like him attacking Netanyahu. And so they're sending out letters saying he's not welcome at Woodmont. His admittance would create a storm that could destroy our club. This is from some of the members who actually are standing on their principles, which, by the way, is very unusual. This is a very unusual thing that club members of such an exclusive club would put their principles above, let us say, their own personal greed. So they're trying to circulate letters to make sure that the former commander-in-chief is not allowed into this country club because he's moving there until his daughter Sasha finishes high school. Now, we don't know whether Obama plans to apply for membership at Woodmont, but he has played at least four rounds at the course during his presidency. And last summer, it was reported that this club would be his club of choice when he leaves the Oval Office. Now, this is not the view of all members of the club, and of course, the super liberal Jewish Community Relations Council of Greater Washington is gushing over this, meaning over the fact that Obama wants to join this club, but he's not a member of the club himself. He wrote, "How cool is it that the first African-American president of the United States may well be joining a country club originally established because Jews couldn't get in anywhere else," said Ron Halber. Okay, Ron, you're not a member of the club, but you're already speaking for them. So that's what's going on. There's another one here that I got to tell you about. Drug testing floated for White House press corps. That's a beauty. I've been talking about this for 2 years, but it wouldn't be to drug test the press corps. That already is a given that they're... Look, you're wondering whether they're on drugs? You must be joking. I would like to see Congress drug tested randomly twice a year. I would love to see random drug tests required for all members of Congress twice a year. Wouldn't you? Huh? I would. I think it'd be a great idea. I'll go for it. I would pee in a cup. I see that bidding starts at $40,000 for Christopher Reeve's Superman costume. Now, who would want that? What putz in his right mind would want to buy Christopher Reeve's Superman costume? What are you going to do with it? Some moron is going to put it on in his basement? I don't understand what people bid stuff for dead people. I told you I knew a guy, an art dealer in London many years ago. God rest his soul, a great man, wonderful man. He bid $5,000 or $10,000 for Marilyn Monroe's brassiere years after she was dead. I was shocked. I didn't say anything because at the time I didn't know people bought these things. It makes me think. I mean, I'm a minor celebrity. I realize I'm not Christopher Reeves, but I am a certain celebrity. I'm a minor celebrity. So you think ahead. I have my archives, my artifacts. I'm thinking, what would you bid on? Let's say years from now when I'm dead and the family holds an auction somewhere at Christie's. And like three people show up, three deplorable people show up, like ripped clothing, drooling on themselves. What is it of mine? How much would you pay for my microphone? What would you pay for in your mind to have my my wine glass, my favorite wine glass, or my favorite beer mug? God, how disgusting! Yes, indeedy, that's Michael Savage's beer mug. I just imagine drinking with him as I pour my butt into this mug. And I drink it. I'm in solidarity with the man I loved so much. What'd you bid on? Like socks? They actually bid on everything. They sell everything. Shoes, socks, underwear. It's disgusting. There's no privacy in the world. I'm asking you, seriously. I actually think it'd be a more interesting show topic than Trump. I don't want to hear the word Trump again. I'm sick of it. Leave me alone already with Trump. I'm tired of it already before he's inaugurated. Please, I wish him the best. I don't want to hear him. I don't want to hear Kellyanne Conway's name one more time. I wish he changed somebody already. I'm saturated with it. Leave me alone. Just manage the country. Clean it up. Fire the government workers. Build a wall. Lower taxes. And leave me alone. I don't want to hear any more about it. So I'd rather just do radio today. So I say bidding starts at $40,000 for Christopher Reeve's Superman costume. What would you pay for Michael Savage's microphone? Let's say years from now. Let's say, God willing, it happens here. Would you buy it? What of mine would you want? Like an undershirt? It would have to be, like, laundered first before I put it up. I'm not going to, like... See, old undershirts, even if they're clean, they look worn out. Maybe there's a more of a... Okay, wait. Michael Savage's old Jaguar. That would be something. The XK150 he never drove. It spent more time in the shop than it did in his garage. Every time he started, it caught fire.
I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I want to talk for a minute today at the end of the show about the mass hysteria we are living through. There's a mass hysteria going on after Trump's win where the entire American left, including philosophers, poets, so-called professors, actors, have gone into a stage of mourning with little snowflake children crying, with teachers canceling lectures, with a hotline started to help desperate people because Trump won. This is mass hysteria. This whole obsession about global warming in the midst of a cold spell and the floods here on the West Coast, mass hysteria. This obsession that Obama is so great when he's the opposite, mass hysteria. Fact of the matter is, most of it is based upon the fact that the people have been brainwashed. It's a very dangerous syndrome of mass hysteria and mass insanity. There's a great article that I'd like to recommend on mass insanity by Alexander Mastrovoy on the World Tribune website. And he writes that Soviet totalitarianism was mild compared to the totalitarianism, the cultural totalitarianism of the West, which is far more effective than the Soviet version, more deadly and poisonous, because the one we're living through here, put out by the vermin in the media and Hollywood, suppresses the will, consciousness, and emotions of people, while the Soviet party members did not even go there. He says that Soviet totalitarianism not only failed to suppress the basic instincts, it didn't even try to do so. For example, he says, in the old Soviet Union, if a man saw a girl subjected to sexual harassment, he would stand up for her if he could. While now we see situations in Cologne where the men turn the other way and German men walk away while Muslims sexually molest them. He says it was absolutely unthinkable that political officials in the USSR would justify rapists and accuse their victims on the grounds of immodesty. It was inconceivable that the Politburo members welcomed the mockery of their own children and protected rapists, as happens regularly now in Western Europe. He says, I can't imagine that the Soviet court would justify the rape of a child, as was the case in Austria, or care about the future of migrants, which mocked and raped a child, as it happened in Sweden. Authorities in Sweden decided not to deport Afghan migrants who committed a gang rape of a boy because it was not safe for them to go back to Afghanistan. The code of the builder of communism gave no sympathy for a rapist, whereas the code of the builder of postmodernism does. And he goes on. It's fabulous to read. I recommend it very highly. He says Soviet students didn't ask to remove Plato and Descartes from their syllabus simply because they were white, as students of London University did. No one dared to reject the great culture because it was created by dead white European males. And I could go on and on and on about the replacement of Western civilization by the lowest form of humanity, who are the revisionists, the cultural revisionists, and the totalitarian warrior poets, psychos, who are now running a Democrat Party. You'll see the vermin in the streets on Friday. Be aware as they meet the wall of meat of the Bikers for Trump.